We're on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and I think we're in the weeds all day today. And if we're in the weeds, we must be with Walter Sullivan. Hi, Walter. You're my guest
Jeffrey,
host for the day.
Jeffrey, how are you doing? I think we're having a great show going here today. Great. With all about weed.
All about weed. Wow. Let's rename it. Our next guests are Peter Bernard and Tara Hopper from the Massachusetts Grower Advocacy Council. Wow. Welcome, guys, and tell us about yourselves.
That's a mouthful, isn't it? Well, my name is Peter Bernard, and I'm the executive director at the Mass Growers Advocacy Council. And basically what we do is we look after the legislation and regulation that goes around cultivation and manufacturing of marijuana products to make sure that they're reasonable and sensible and that we don't end up with arbitrary stuff that's all based on fear. Like, you shouldn't need 18 locks to get into a grow room. You might need one or two, but, you know, you don't need armed guards like a federal maximum security prison to have a grow facility, but you do need some security. So those are the kind of things we look at. And protecting the rights that we've been granted by this voter initiative that the people voted on, and trying to make sure that the spirit of that is upheld. And my help with that is Ms. Tara Hopper, who's one of our newest directors. She joined us a few months ago.
Very honored.
I'll let her brag on herself.
Oh, thank you, Peter. Hi. As Peter just stated, my name is Tara Hopper. I am very happy to be here in Natick today, my hometown, where I'm also a town meeting member. And
wow.
I'm very excited to be involved with Natick local politics. I do some local lobbying, some state lobbying. I've been doing lobbying for the past 15 years. I'm also an attorney with a health law and public policy master's of law. So I have a real interest in FDA and health law and civil rights. And then I started working as a cannabis attorney. And then I had the pleasure of working with Peter and doing some lobbying for MassCann Normal. And now I'm excited for the Harvest Cup, that Peter will tell you all about this weekend. We've been very, very busy.
And Harvest Cup.
Yeah.
Yes, the Harvest Cup. There has never, east of the Mississippi, been a mainstream cannabis competition. There have been plenty of, you had to be in the know, secret kind of ones going on. But with the legalities now, you have to remember, an organization like ours, the Mass Grower Advocacy Council, is a 501c4. We're a nonprofit. We have to raise money somehow. So we figured, rather than doing an event every month to try to raise funds to operate, we would do just one. So we got the Worcester DCU Center rented out. We stuck 140 vendors from across the cannabis world in there. And part of it is to help destigmatize. We advertised on mainstream media. We didn't use the underground. We did use a lot of social media. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, we put this out for Joe Average. Hey, you're curious about cannabis? Come check it out. Come and see that it's not some scary thing that the prohibitionists stigmatize it to be.
Now, what's the Guinness Book of World Records are you looking to break this weekend?
Well, at this point,
I want to know who the judges are for the Harvest Cup.
Jeffrey will show up.
I'm one of them.
We're both judges. We couldn't enter, so, you know, I get to at least be a judge. Perk of the job. The 100-foot joint. There is going to be an attempt by a great group of guys, a bunch of veterans in Boston called Beantown Greentown. They do a lot of philanthropic work for the vets, and they're also excellent growers. So when they heard about the Harvest Cup, they said, we're going to break a world record and roll a 100-foot joint. And I'm like, nah, he'll never do it. I was there yesterday and saw the prototypes.
Oh, my God.
There's a 93-foot joint sitting in the basement of a friend's house in Denham right now. 93 feet.
Now, it's someone about, smokes that before the event. They're not getting off the ground.
No, basically what's going to happen with this is it'll get assembled on Saturday at the DCU Center. And when it's finished and all the pictures are done, we're just going to start cutting up pieces of it. And whoever's walking by can have a piece.
Now, what is the record now?
There is no official record, but I believe it's 50.
So is Ripley's going to be there?
I don't know, but it would be good to get them out, because believe it or not, it's going to happen. You'll when it's done and we've got the pictures, in a couple of months you'll be able to see a two-page spread of it in High Times magazine. So we'll have photographic documented proof. There's a film crew going through the whole process with them. They're making a big production out of it.
Now, you've been very successful in your lobbying efforts to get a license created called Craft Marijuana Cooperatives.
Yeah,
can you explain the intent of that? and who benefits?
Well, the people that benefit the most from that are the smaller growers that have been in existence in the shadows and want to come out and be legit. They're designed to be limited space cultivation. It's being said that production is going to be regulated based on how much square footage. They've got three different ways to do it. They can do it by weight or canopy or square footage. And that's really the only universal thing we decided was that. So these craft cooperatives, there will be ones that are greater than 10,000 square feet, but the smaller ones are meant to help the small business people, the people that have been more greatly disparaged in the failed war on drugs, the minority communities that have been arrested time and again and really deserve a shot at it, because let's face it, without what they were doing, there would be no industry to bring into the legal light of day. They deserve a good crack at it. I know a lot of guys that have been medical growers since we got the medical law in 2012 and have dreamed of getting their own license, but with the cost prohibitive nature of the RMD structure in the Commonwealth, it remained a dream for most of them. Now they see this craft cooperative stuff and they see a possibility to make their dreams come true, and they're getting their ducks in a row right now. I know people that are just waiting to put seeds in the pot. They're ready to go.
Now, if you're looking, if you know, people listening to the show and they want to get into the business, but as you said, can't afford to get into the big business, how do they get involved in the cooperative?
Well, the way the cooperative law is written, you can do it a couple of different ways. The spirit of it is to have a limited liability partnership with three or more owners where nobody has a majority control. Nobody has more than like 40% of it. That's the spirit of it, although the law doesn't dictate it. You could also do an LLC where somebody can be a majority owner. But the idea of it was to take three or more people that by themselves don't have enough resources to do it, but combined could. Think about the evil ocean spray and how it's overtaken cranberries. Their business model is actually pretty sound. And if you apply the practice on a smaller scale, it really benefits those who don't have $1 million to show in the bank, but do have the business acumen and the growth skill to actually have a cultivation facility.
Terry, you have anything to add to that?
No, Peter, it's been very thorough.
I run on, sorry.
So tell us how you get your funding so that our listeners could understand that and maybe support you.
100% of our funding comes from people who are growing at home. We have on our website, massgrower.org, /#donate. We ask that people will donate $4.20 a month on the regular, or $7.10 a month if they're into dabs, or any amount that they choose, either on a monthly or a one-time kind of a thing. Sometimes we do fundraisers. We did a really nice fundraiser at Pro Verde Labs last March, and we raised enough there to get us through most of the year. We did a very interesting raffle that, because of the laws on advertising, I won't get into. But it was very successful. We'll leave it at that. If we throw a party and you like to smoke weed, you want to come for the raffle.
Now, can you tell our listeners what 420 stands for?
420 is the time of day where you spark up. Think about tea time. Tea time in England is 4. And when you're done with your tea, you spark one up.
Did you know that already, Walter?
I'm just learning this, Jeffrey. I find it very interesting.
And 710 is about concentrates and hash oil, because 710 upside down says oil.
So funny. I didn't know that one.
I found it on a guy's shirt, and I asked him. He had a picture of the Tin Man on his shirt with 710 under it. I'm like, 710? And he goes, yeah, oil. And I was like, oh. I come from the tech sector, so I instantly thought to flip the numbers upside down like you would do with a kid spelling out things.
So what do you what would make this a good year, 2018, for you? What would you like to see accomplished?
I'd like to see all the regulations come out now, so that the thousands of people who are asking me how to get a license, I could give them answers.
Yeah, that would be nice.
what we've looked for this year, we've pretty much got. It started off a year ago when Senator Jason Lewis wrote this bill to cut the plant count in half. I spent the entire year lobbying against that bill in an open Senate in the final debates. He pulled it and gave us credit for educating him on the topic, which made me feel really good. I wasn't there. My phone started ringing. I thought my friends were teasing me.
It was great.
It was, so that made me feel pretty good. And then with the craft cooperative stuff, so far it looks like we're getting most of what we wanted there. And the people that we talked to in roundtable events and stuff like that seem to be pretty happy with it. So, you know, what comes next for us? People who grow at home being able to sell into the legal system. That's a little bit down the road. It's an idea I've had for a while and that we've all bounced off of different people up on Beacon Hill. And they like the idea of it because it takes a huge bite out of the black market. Because let's face it, who wants to be a street dealer when all you have to do is walk into the store and sell it?
Mm-hmm. So this week going on now, the Cannabis Control Commission is meeting publicly to discuss policies that will lead to the regulations.
Correct.
It was interesting. They actually are looking to create two licenses beyond the statutory licenses that are there. One of them relates to a micro business that would allow a small business person to grow, manufacture, and sell. I give you a lot of credit for that. Can you explain how that potentially would work?
Potentially the way that would work, if I'm not mistaken, that's limited to 1,000 square feet, right?
Yes, I believe so.
It's either 500 or 1,000. 5,000 square feet, I think, was the second tier.
The limit of cultivation recommendations, no larger than 10,000 square feet.
And they changed that to 5,000.
Yeah, they changed that to 5,000. Okay. But on the micros, the thinking behind that was, I think about the people I was talking about earlier, the medical growers who have been dreaming. Under the medical law, there isn't a real plant count. The law states, and I quote, a reasonable number of plants to sustain a 60-day supply of your medication, unquote. That's going to vary from patient to patient. So you've got people out there producing FICO or Rick Simpson oil, highest form of concentrate you can get. It takes a couple of pounds to make a 60-day supply of that. So you need a lot more plants. So some of these people are running 40, 50 plants. They're already running close to 1,000 square feet. If they can get that license, boom, they're instantly in business. And because they're growing legally, they get an advantage. They're already producing. They don't have to wait. They can convert their crop over because it's already there.
So take everything you have in your basement and move it upstairs.
Why move it? You just put the license on the door. That's what you do.
Metaphorically. If somebody wants to find you guys, support you, learn more, get your help, how would they do that?
Massgrower.org.
That's pretty easy.
Yeah, pretty easy.
I want to thank you for being on the show today. Will you come back again?
Absolutely. Thanks for having us on.
Do we have to have Walter as your bodyguard?
Yeah, I don't go anywhere without Walter because he knows. You know why sharks don't attack lawyers in the ocean?
Oh, why?
Professional courtesy.
Okay.
Jeffrey,
and I practice law. I just play
one in the movies. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm not an attorney. I am a management consultant, and I work with entrepreneurs. And this is Radio Entrepreneurs. That's why I'm here. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.